still a part of me that wants to come up here and carry this profound message states that when I honestly share my own story, that's whenever I can help somebody else. And, you know, I know that God is going to step in here in a couple minutes because that's what happens whenever you stay around the fellowship. So, the topic I was asked to speak on was just for today, and I believe that is no coincidence because lately, you know, I was just on the phone with my sponsor the other day, and I was going through some stuff, and like my sponsor's common question with me has been, you know, wow, where did you lose today at? You know, where are you? You know, come back to today. Because I worry, I stress out, you know, and I like to project about future events and what if. I like to say that to myself, and you know, it's just been a period of like, wow, you know, learning to stay in today. And like sharing about the topic just for today, I need to share that as a newcomer, when I came here, I did not understand just for today. I had no clue what you guys were talking about. Just for today, what? You know, how the hell do I do that? And I couldn't figure it out to save my life. And I'm telling you, it took about two and a half years in this process for me to finally gain an understanding of what just for today really truly meant internally, because I just couldn't get it, you know. And my brother's in recovery, and he used to tell me on the phone all the time, you know, just for today, you don't have to use. And I'd be like, whatever, you know, whatever, I'm trying to practice that, but I don't understand it, but I'm trying to do it anyway because they say that's what I should do, but I don't know how, you know. So basically, I had to ask for help, and that's what I have to do a lot in this process is you know, put me aside in my like, good, thinking I should know everything self, put that aside and, you know, ask for some help in how do I do this. I was asked to speak on Just for Today, and like I read the Just for Today in the thing there, in the book, in the Just for Today book, because we have one of them. And I'm going to stay on the topic of Just for Today, because in this book it's about the ninth step, and I am going from 5 to 6 right now, so, you know, that's not my business right now. So I'm going to stay where I'm at, just for today. That book has helped me tremendously in my recovery process. Like, I get up in the mornings, and I can't say, look, I don't do this every day. I try to the best of my ability to follow a pattern in my life, in my new way of life that I found, that I wake up and I read that book, you know. It seems to me that when I don't read that book and sit and pray, because that's what gives me that's what reminds me sometimes in the morning to pray, you know, diligently, like, pray and get in contact with my higher power. Like, when I don't do that, my whole day is screwed up. And it's no coincidence. You know, I need to learn, like, every day how to stay in the moment, how to live life from moment to moment. Like, I went over the basic text because, like, when I'm asked to share on something, like, my sponsor suggests to me that I do the work that's required of me. She suggests that I don't come up here and just speak not knowing the information. She wants me to take in all the information, study it, you know, even though whatever I study is not going to be what comes out of my mouth, because that's usually the way it works. You know, she still wants me to take the initiative and do my part. And it says that in this book. Like, we do our best and we leave the end results up to a higher power. And that's what I need to practice in everyday life. I do that to the best of my ability. You know, situations come up, life shows up. And I have a responsibility as a human being, now that I've gained the right back to being a human being, to be accountable for myself and to show up for my life. And when I show up for my life and I do my best, God steps in and He does the rest. But I firmly believe that if I don't do the action that's required of me, like, I'm slapping God in the face. you know, like, here's this job, you know, I want you to do this, but if you don't, you know, but if I don't take the action to do it, I'm like, whatever, you know, whatever, I'm going to do it my way. My way never worked for me. Never. I'm going to go over the Just for Today reading that we have. We read it after every meeting, usually at most meetings at the end. And I've been getting in touch with a lot of that lately, like how simple that reading is, but how much it makes sense. You know, like the first part of it, it says, just for today, my thoughts will be on my recovery, living and enjoying life without the use of drugs. Okay, I got the living part, living life without the use of drugs. But, and I'm telling you, 3 years into my process, I finally started to realize that the word enjoying was in there. Like, I heard it every day, but I didn't understand it. Like, the beginning of my recovery, like, when I first put the drug down, I kept a journal. And I got in touch with, as a newcomer, how angry of a person I was and how much I carried that anger throughout my day. Because they suggested that, you know, somebody suggested that I write my feelings down. And you know, I'm always, like, I'm a stickler for suggestions in this program. If somebody gives me a suggestion, it's my responsibility to follow through because that's what's brought me to where I am today. And, like, I journaled, and I would look back over this journal, and all it said was, I'm pissed off about, I'm angry about, like, for weeks. And that's when I got in touch with the fact that I had a problem, like, deeper than the chemical. Like, wow, I'm mad all the time, and I'm not using. There's nothing to be mad about, and I'm pissed off at something. Like, I'm just grabbing a hold of something. You know, and I still get mad. I do, but not as often as I used to. You know, I try to carry myself as a woman of God in this fellowship, my higher power I choose to call God, and I try to the best of my ability to carry myself as a woman of God. You know, I've learned a lot of things along the way in this process. I have, well, right now I'm coming up on 4 years clean. And the transition that has happened in my life since day one is amazing to me. It is beautiful. In this reading, it says about, like, when we find ourselves, one way we can continue a conscious contact, especially in the hard times, is the list of things for which we are grateful. It's hard for me some days, man. It's hard for me to remember what I am grateful for, because life is, it's not easy. Like, I got clean, and, like, I thought, okay, I'm getting clean, life is going to be great, you know? And that was not the truth all the time. Life is good. Life is beautiful as a recovering addict. And like, I would never, ever give that up for anything. It sounds funny, like I'm glad I was in active addiction, and I'm glad I am where I'm at now, you know? But, like, life is hard for me on any given day. But I still need to show up and move past that. This says, just for today, I will have faith in someone in NA who believes in me and wants to help me in my recovery. And, like, I'm looking around the room, and, like, I see, like, there's, you know, Melissa and Bob and that guy. No. And Lance, and like these are people, and Chad back there, like these are people that, Chuck, hi! these are people that like are there for me, you know, on it. Like, some of them I don't see as often as other ones, but what I'm learning is I always see them. You know, whether it's a month from the last time I see them, or fortunate Chuck back there that I talk to about every day, you know, and sometimes I call him and I'm like, how are you doing? Well, I'm sad, you know, like, I don't know how to get out of this, but thank God for the fellowship, you know, and people that believe in us, because like he's been my backbone and support so many times just to say to me, you are a child of God, you are a woman of God, you will get through this, it's going to be all right, you know, and that's a beautiful thing, because when I think back to active addiction, the people that surrounded me in active addiction, and even early on in recovery, like, I need to be real wise about how I choose my circle of support. because the people that surrounded me in active addiction, like my best friends referred to me as bitch. You know, they referred to me as asshole. What's up, jerk? You know, like that's how we talk to one another. That is not supportive in any sense. But when I came into the process, I still drew to me those people until I made an internal change within myself. You know, and I was talking to my friend, God bless him, my friend from New Jersey, and he was telling me, you know, watch how your circle is going to change. And it's amazing. Like, I don't associate with people who have any negativity to speak into my spirit. I don't. Because I can't afford to. You know, when I talk to people and they have something negative to say to me, it's what I do is I say, well, you know what? They're not supposed to be a part of my life. You know? Now, negative and constructive criticism is two different things. But I'm talking negativity. Like, if I go and I speak somewhere and I leave, I've had this happen before, and somebody instantly shares something negative about what I said, I don't want them in my circle. Why do I want that? You know, I've used myself for long enough. So, like, yes, I do have faith in people who believe in me. My sponsor, man. If you're new, get a sponsor. This woman has done so much for me. She has put aside so much time in her life. And, like, what I want to share is, like, my sponsor lives in Massachusetts. I live here. Okay? So many people, and those people aren't in my circle anymore, told me that that wasn't possible because she was long distance. What? You know, and I picked up the sponsorship book and I found out that there's other people. Thank God for that sponsorship book that we have. I found out there's other people who have done the same thing. Actually, there was a lady who lived on one continent who spoke a different language than her sponsor who lived on another continent. And they taught each other their language and they came together and worked a step. Nothing is impossible in this program, in this fellowship. You know, so I grabbed a hold of this sponsor and, like, I practice trying to the best of my ability to call my sponsor every day. That is part of my daily program. When I first got a sponsor, well, I said, I need a temporary sponsor. And she said to me, what, do you have a temporary disease? And it kind of grabbed a hold of that. And I was like, okay, well, I need to get a sponsor. Okay, will you be my sponsor? And this woman told me to call her every day for 30 days. And that continued because I developed a habit, a good habit, for the first time in my life. And she told me to call her when I was feeling good and call her when I was feeling bad. And I did that on a daily basis because in that process, she got to know me. She got to know my self-deception practices, my rationalizations, my justifications, and she got to know my assets. You know, so she can be there for me and help to support me on a daily basis. I have a different sponsor now, the one that's in Massachusetts. Beautiful woman. And I'm telling you, every day that I call this woman, she puts her time aside for me. We have spent 3 hours on the phone, 4 hours, you know, in intervals, whatever, doing step work. And it's just beautiful to me that somebody likes me that much. You know, I couldn't find people that would like me in the past, you know, and somebody really, really cares about me that much. That's amazing to me. Just for today, I will have a program. I will try to follow it to the best of my ability. And that for me is my program is all inclusive of like meetings. Now, I do not go to a meeting every day. I have established a balance in my life. I was told at 18 months clean I needed to get a balance because I was going to every meeting I possibly could and I was not living life. So I had to get a balance and that's what I did. And you know, my sponsor put me in touch with the fact that this one time I had gone 5 days without a meeting and that's really not like me, you know, but it happened. It showed up. Life showed up, you know. My car broke down this one week, and, man, it was the middle of the winter. I live 30 miles from any meeting, and I'm like, how am I going to get to a meeting? My car's broke down. I'm stuck in my house in the middle of this snowstorm. How am I going to get to a meeting? And she said to me, you know, she says to me, like, did you read your literature today? This is my program. Did you talk to recovering addicts today? Did you do any step work today? Any work on yourself? You know, that's my program. Taking an inventory of myself at that point in time, I realized that I was lacking in the talking to other recovering addicts, and needless to say, I was feeling pretty messed up. I was feeling pretty sad, pretty down, and pretty depressed. And on any given day, I can go through it. You know, I go through it sometimes emotionally, and sometimes it's not even over big things. Like, I'll just be like, oh, why do I have to show up for life? You know, like, it gets so annoying. Like, I just want a day off, because the program has afforded me a lot of things. Like, I'm a college student now, and I'm very proud of myself today. Like, they selected me out of the whole college. They selected four students to be student ambassador of the school, meaning that I represent the college. And I was one of them. And I sat there the other day, and I was so honored. Like, to sit there, and the president of the school was there, and all this big brushing, and I'm in a suit, and I'm thinking, all these people don't even know I'm an addict. This is great. You know? Like, I lost the stigma that I am an addict somewhere along the lines in the process, and like, people see me as a human being capable of accomplishing much, you know? That's amazing. Just for today, through NA, I will try to get a better perspective on my life. Wow. My perspective of life was so distorted. Whew. My belief systems were screwed up. I'm talking about, like distorted image of self, like, can't stand self, can't stand to be around self, don't want to be with self, my perception of life, like everybody's out to get me. Everybody has something against me. They're acting this way because of me. Too many me's in that sentence, you know? But self-centeredness, maybe? Is that the core of our disease? Yeah, I think so. Like I thought that I had a pretty negative outlook on life. Like, and now, like, I'm afforded the ability to take a different look about that. This literature says that everything we know is up for revision, especially what we know about the truth. And that is so true. That is so true for me, because I came into this process like, and the distorted thinking was there, and I hated myself. I hated myself, and really, I thought that even in early recovery, it was about finding ways and means to get more clothes, finding ways and means to get a place to stay, you know, like, and I was doing some shit in the rooms, and like, today I don't have to do that, but I did, like I was the whore in Narcotics Anonymous when I first came around. Yes, I was, and some people from my area remember me from then. You know, I did not stay clean through that. I went back out. You know, I was manipulating and lying on top of lying, and I believe that, like, I thoroughly backed myself into a corner. Like, I lied on top of lied on top of lied, and like, eventually I went out and used. Not to say, because I don't speak that any behavior will take me out. I don't believe that. I don't. That's just in my belief systems. Because this time around I did the same shit, but I didn't use. Because I found out, and it's also in this chapter, that no matter what, I don't have to use today. I don't have to use. And, like, I learned that the hard way. Like, I got in this relationship with somebody, and he was from Harrisburg, and I was in a halfway house out there, and I had to move back to Altoona. This is how I got to Altoona. My parole officer said I had to go to Altoona, because I came in here on paper. You know, I came in here getting a slip sign, thinking all these people around me, this is my distorted thinking, all these people around me think I'm just here to get my slip sign, and I can't stand all these effers and this and that. You know, that's my thinking when I came in here. It changed. It really changed. But somewhere along the line, I grasped a hold of, you know, or God saw it fit to grasp a hold of me, I should say, and guide me in this process. But, like, I'm telling you, I was so distorted. And, wow, on any given day, I can be distorted about myself. Like, yesterday, Yesterday I woke up and I had the most distorted self-image you could imagine. I'm standing in front of the mirror. My belly's too fat. My butt's too big. My hair is too frizzy. And all this stuff, you know, that goes along with the disease. And like, I have a choice to believe it or not. You know, that's what it comes down to. Because the disease is, I'm telling you, it will feed me some bullshit on a daily basis. And that's why I need a daily program, because it'll feed me some stuff to tell me I'm not good enough, you know, that I'm not pretty enough, that I don't fit in Narcotics Anonymous because my clothes aren't brand name enough. Where the hell did that come from? You know? But that's what goes through my head sometimes. And then it's moving past that, and like God saw fit for me to come up here and share in this with, you know, my hair's not done, my makeup's not done, my sponsor would be so proud of me. But and I'm learning more and more, I'm learning that it's not about fitting in Narcotics Anonymous. Like, I came here because I could never find a place to fit in. I always wanted to fit in, and I don't have a watch on. I always wanted to fit in, though. I always wanted to fit in, and I did everything that came behind that, and I wore the mask, and I could never find, like, my niche or whatever. You know, Narcotics Anonymous is my niche. This is where I belong. This is where I fit in, like, no matter what. No matter what I'm wearing, people still love me. People still love me. You don't care what I'm wearing, right? That's an amazing thing, though, because in active addiction, I had to walk around and dress a certain way and carry myself a certain way and look a certain way, or people didn't like me. And I still deal with that. I still deal with that in my workplace. There's the terminally hip and fatally cool people, you know? And like there's still that part of me that wants to fit in with them, but I know fitting in with them comes at a high expense. And like, I'm not willing to pay that today. A better perspective on my life. Today, this is the first retreat that I've been to single. This is the first anything in Narcotics Anonymous I've been to single. Like I said, I came around this time and I was a whore. And then after that, I got scared because some shit happened and I had to show up. You know, I had to show up and be accountable for some stuff. You know, like I got pregnant at 18 months clean and the father was abusive and I had to make some decisions for me. You know, and check this out. My sponsor was against the decision that I made, but she still held me through it. It was against her belief systems, but she held me, and she carried me through it. She said, you know what, baby, it's going to be all right. You know, and she was there for me, and she supported me. And like today, I don't have to act like that. I don't have to act like the whore, you know. I come to a retreat like, I'm cool. This is amazing to me. This is amazing that like, and I heard a speaker share the other day, like, because this is where I'm getting the most acceptance in my life, is like, this single piece hurts. It hurts because since I was 12 years old, I've been jumping from one relationship to the next, to the next, to the next, just trying to find something outside of me to make me feel okay with me. And that's not where I'm at today. You know, I got into a relationship recently, and like, I had to end it. I had to end it because I knew what God was saying to me, and God's voice was more powerful than the behavior, you know, and I couldn't live with myself if I stayed in it, you know, so I made a decision, and like today, like I'm starting to become okay with me. It's kind of weird still because I'm used to walking around on somebody's hip, you know, under somebody's arm or holding somebody's hand, and now I'm just like, wow, but somebody shared with me today, single is a whole unit, you know. Single is a whole unit. I'm becoming a whole unit, you know, without all that mess on the side. You know, because seriously, like, when I get into a relationship, like, and like, I haven't even, like, I'm in the process of developing a relationship with self. You know, and I'm just learning how to start to be okay with me as a human being and as an individual as a result of the step process. Like, I don't know how to treat somebody else yet. I don't know, and that's what I found out the hard way. You know, I was with somebody, and I was treating them not very well. You know, and I had to come to terms with myself, because, like, I like to blame. I like to say, they did this, and they did that, and they were such a bad person, and no, it's me. You know, it's me, and it's the stuff that I signed myself up for. But yeah, that's a better perspective on my life today. Like I'm okay as me. I'm okay as just me. You know, it's kind of amazing, like, to stand here and say that, because I never dreamed that it would be possible. But we do achieve beyond our wildest dreams if we stick and stay here. Just for today, I will be unafraid. That's really big for me, because I'm on my fifth step. Well, I just shared the exact nature with my sponsor, which I found out was fear, 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 fear. You know, that's what it was. It was all fear. Like, and I carried myself as this badass, tough chick, you know. No. I'm a scared individual on the inside. And that's what I found out. And like, I can carry myself as unafraid with all of you, you know, with the support, with the God of my understanding, you know, to trust God to have Him come in and take some of that stuff away. And I can see how far I've come in this process and the fears that have been removed already, you know. So that gives me hope. That kind of frees me up. So I know that there's hope for the future. I see some of you that went through the same stuff that I'm going through now that are further into it than I am, and that's where I gain the hope from other people. My thoughts would be on my new associations, people who are not using it and who found a new way of life. That's why I'm here today, you know. That's why I'm here. That's why, you know, I stay here. I don't focus on the problem. I try to focus on the solution. I try to stay with the people who believe in me, who have faith in me. And who tell me, like even when I feel like I'm not going to make it, they tell me, you're going to make it. Even when I feel like there's no hope, they tell me, there's hope. I live for this fellowship. I feed off of this fellowship. This fellowship has brought me from my knees in active addiction, living on the streets in Pittsburgh, not even knowing how to, not even showering, bathing, nothing, to the person I stand here as today. You know, wow. It's an amazing thing. And I needed to share on this topic because I needed to get in touch with that. See, I see God. I see what you're doing. You know, like, yeah. But I'm grateful to be here, and I'm going to be done now. Thanks for allowing me to share.
Thanks, Tammy. The next speaker is someone that I've known for a while. He's from Hermitage, PA. I've heard him share on a lot of different subjects. This particular I haven't heard yet. With that, I give you Silvio.
Morning, family. My name is Silvio. I'm a grateful recovering addict. If I could, I'd like to read right at the beginning of the basic text here. I read it every time I share it because it means a lot to me. We cannot change the nature of the addict or addiction. We can help to change the old lie, once an addict, always an addict, by striving to make recovery more available. God help us to remember this difference. Can we take a moment of silence, please, so I can get out of the way and follow it with the wee version of the Serenity Prayer? Amen. God, grant us the serenity to accept the things we cannot change, the courage to change the things we can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Amen. Okay, I have one more request. I would like everybody to please stand up, hug your neighbor, so we can feel all the unconditional love in here that we're supposed to.
How are you doing?
Okay, thank you, everyone. I do that every time I share also. That's so we can feel the unconditional love in here that we're supposed to, and that's also to help put me at ease as well as to put you at ease and get everybody comfortable here. I'd like to thank the retreat committee for asking me to come up here and share. I'd like to thank Kyle for driving and getting us here in one piece. We left at 4:30 this morning to be here. And, you know, that's one thing I've learned is that anytime I'm asked to do anything that with the words N.A. in it, that I'm supposed to do it, if at all possible. So that's why I'm here. And I'd also like to thank Tammy. Very nice message. Thank you. And, you know, I'm a firm believer that there are no coincidences in life, just things that are meant to coincide for a reason. Okay? And Tammy mentioned a lot about she's going through things. She mentioned a lot about sponsorship. I'm going through things. Kyle's topic this afternoon is sponsorship. I'm, you know, just things happen for a reason. You know, and I'm a firm believer in that. And, you know, the topic I was asked to share on is just for today. And I can remember when I first got clean, that just for today meant just don't pick up. You know, that's all I could do at that time is just not pick up. And the meaning of just for today is a lot different to me today than it was what's the date today? The 25th. Mm-hmm. 5 years and 1 month today. So it's a lot different than it. Thank you. I don't need that. I just want to let you guys know that I belong here. I definitely earned my seat. Okay. The meaning back then for me was just don't pick up, no matter what. And nowadays the meaning is still just don't pick up no matter what, but it's a whole lot of other things too. I'm going through, let me start with when I first got clean. When I first got clean, I was like a lot of other people. I was court ordered here, and I came in, get my paper signed, and, you know, was under the false impression that I could come to meetings for 90 days, work all 12 steps, and wake up from a bad dream and continue on with my life. And, you know, that's when I was in denial of just for today. See, just for today means, you know, if you have 1 foot in yesterday and 1 foot in tomorrow, all you're doing is pissing all over today. And I remember that. I remember that from the day I got clean. You see, when I first got clean, I wanted to use bad all the time because that's all I had known for 28, 29 years. And I remember I was staying in my mother's house then, and I got clean in July. It was summertime. So, and I was court ordered to meetings. So I had to go to the meetings. I had met a couple people my first meeting, thank God, because if not, I don't know if I'd still be here. Who befriended me, like we do, we give it back. You can't keep what you have without giving it back. And they saw how beat up I look, and they said, you know, why don't we go have a cup of coffee? Coffee's big here, you know. And I said, I don't have any money. And they said, that's okay. That's not what we asked you. Just come and have some coffee with us. And you know what? That kept me wanting to come back to the meeting the next night. You know, because see, for me, when I first got here, the reason why I was here was not the right reason. But it eventually became the right reason. You know, so I'm at my mom's house. It's the middle of the summer. And I'm like a dog in a little electric fence there in the yard, okay? Got a weed whacker out on one side. I got the lawnmower here, the chainsaw there, the you know, the axe over there and doing yard work that didn't need to be done. Just because I didn't want to fucking use. Because I didn't want to kill myself. Because, you know, I hit that point where I wanted to die, but I wanted to live at the same time. And I didn't know how I could do that. You know, thank God for these rooms. I came in and I found out how I could do that. You know, so what I did was I told myself that, you know, I want to use really bad today, but I got to go to the meeting tonight. So I can't go to the meeting like that. I won't use today, maybe tomorrow. You know, being a good addict that I am, I wanted to leave the door open, you know. And I kept saying this to myself every day for the first 3 or 4 months. And, you know, eventually, and I don't know when it happened, eventually I stopped saying it. That's when I had surrendered. See, you know, I heard a good friend of mine share, and he used an acronym for the word loser. Because he says he's glad to be a loser because we lost. Drugs beat our ass. Okay, we lost. Loser means life of surrender equals recovery. Okay, and that sticks in my mind. And you know, Tammy was talking a lot about the fear. Fear, fear, fear. Fear used to mean fuck everything and run. Today means face everything and recover. You know, so I know what I need to do to stay here. I know what I need to do. I know that the harder I work at recovery, the harder I have to work. Because I can't get complacent. If I get complacent, I'm going to start backsliding. You know, man, that just for today, that I can remember when just for today to me meant just for this second, I'm not going to pick up. Just for this second, I'm not going to fuck somebody up. Just for this second, I'm going to try to be okay with myself. And you know, I'm real grateful for this process, for the step process, for the recovery process, for the fellowship. Because you know, if not, I wouldn't have met people like Kyle, Pam, Brian, Tammy. And, you know, I thought that I was going to be rolling up on this retreat and not know anybody. And, you know, I like to travel to meetings quite a bit and everything. And probably the first 10 people I met this morning I knew from different areas, you know. And I think that is really, really cool. Because, you know, I know what the importance of a foundation is. You know, if you got a house and it's missing 3 blocks on the foundation, that house is going to fucking fall down eventually. You know? And that process of it getting ready to fall down is mental relapse. And I know when I'm approaching that. I know what I need to do. You know, I always say, I go to meetings, I got to go to meetings, got to talk to my sponsor, got to work the steps, got to do the fellowship, go to the penitentiary and do H&I, work in the juvenile detention facility. I just got this job about 6 months ago, and I was blessed about a month ago to get put into the drug and alcohol program. So I work full time with 10 juvenile addicts, and it's a blessing, man. Because you know what, we could have a meeting anytime we want. I'm getting paid to be a recovering addict. How much better does life get than that, you know? And you know, through this job, I'm going to work on my chemical addictions counseling license. And also have an opportunity to go back to school for my master's in social work. All these things are possible because of this program. All these things are possible because I live in today to the best of my ability. You know, on the way up here, well, I slept a little bit on the way up here, but when I woke up, I read a couple IPs. And the three that I read on the way up were the triangle of self-obsession, just for today, and my personal favorite, living the program. I love this IP. You know, because like Tammy did, she took every part of the Just for Today and shared her experiences on that. You know, and this takes every part of the Just for Today and asks some inventory questions on each part of Just for Today. And this is actually a 10-step tool for a daily inventory. But you know what? Anytime I get a newcomer that I talk to, anytime I get somebody that asks me to sponsor them, I say, here, read this. Ask yourself these questions every night. Because the basic text says that our goal is to become responsible, productive members of society. And it says, so why not do it from the start? So, you know I haven't been around all that long, but I like the old school approach, you know. I like the tough love approach, you know. If you want what we got, you do what we do. That's all there is to it. It's that simple. You know, I've been going through a lot of things in the last month that this topic was meant for me today. You know, like I said, I just started working at this job with juveniles, and then moved over to the drug and alcohol cottage, which allowed me to start working on my chemical addictions counselor's license. And then the opportunity for school came up, and I was going to go to school starting Monday, actually. And you know, my dad's been ill. He just had surgery on his neck 2 months ago. And he's on dialysis. He's had stents put in his heart, and you know, it's hard to see him getting weaker. And since he had this last surgery done, he's been in the hospital every 2 weeks, unable to breathe. And just this past weekend, a week ago today, I almost lost my dad. He was just shy of respiratory failure. So I rushed over there from work, found out what we need to do to keep him alive. And we're going to do what we need to do to keep him alive. So we're going to see a heart surgeon. He's going to have open heart surgery and a valve replacement or a bypass. I'm not sure quite exactly what's going on. But, you know, when I got that phone call when I was at work, two things I thought of: the Just for Today reading and the Serenity Prayer. See, because I don't want my dad to go anywhere, you know, but it's not what I want, it's what God wants. And I'll tell you what, I am real grateful that I've been building a bond with my dad. And you know, because of this program, I can be there for him. And because of this program, he trusts me with his house keys. Because of this program, he can ask me to watch his wallet for him when he's in the hospital. That shit never happened before. You know, I was never around before. You know, I tell everybody, yeah, I'll be there. I'll do this. I'll do that. And never show. Or show to make an appearance and leave within 3 minutes because I have more important shit to do. Because of my self-centeredness. Because of my triangle of self-obsession. Living in today is such a freeing experience. You know, I can let go of all of the shit from yesterday. I can be okay with the shit from today. And I can not worry about tomorrow. Because you know what? Tomorrow may not be here for me. Tomorrow may not come for any of us. You know? So I choose to live just in the moment. And, you know, don't get me wrong. That doesn't mean that I'm just like freelancing through life and recovery with no cares in the world, because life on life's terms is rough sometimes. Life on life's terms is tough to accept when it's not going your way. For me it is, at least. I don't know about anybody else. But you know, it's real easy for me to be grateful when things are going my way. When things are going my way, that's when I got to remember my gratitude. That's when I got to remember that this program saved my life. You know, I'm just blessed with this program, you know. I want to go back to this IP here for a second, okay? And I can't see too well with my glasses either. So, just for today, my thoughts will be on my recovery, living and enjoying life without the use of drugs. Am I clean today? How have I acted differently? Did my disease run my life today? If so, how? What did I do today that I wish I had not done? Today's daily reading on the ninth step. See, I'm not in recovery to keep making my ninth step bigger every time I go around the steps. I'm here to try and make it smaller every time. So therefore, if I don't do no stupid shit, if I don't hurt anybody, if I don't deceive anybody, if I don't lie, that's one less person I got to put on my list. You know, because the opportunities are there all the time to put people on my list. That's not what I'm here for. That's not what I'm here for. I'm not here to hurt anybody. And you know, man, aren't we a bunch of paradoxical people? Self-centered people with low self-esteem. Control freaks that can't make a decision. You know? I don't know, man. I don't know. All I know is that I'm truly grateful for this program. Truly grateful for all the blessings that have been afforded me because of this program. See, that's one thing I used to do. Is when I was trying to develop my conscious contact with God, I always prayed for the signs. God, send me the signs. Okay? Well, that post there could be a sign, and I was reading it the wrong way and still making the wrong decisions. So in an attempt to further advance my conscious contact with the God of my understanding, whom I choose to call God, instead of praying for the signs, I prayed for God to give me an ability to read the signs. See, because if you have a sign, that's like making a decision without taking action. That third step, we made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. You make that decision, you don't take action on it, that decision's useless. Okay? Make all the decisions you want. If you don't take action on them, all they are is random thoughts. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm just real grateful to be here. I'm glad that my dad was stable because, you know, I did reserve the right to cancel if I needed to. He's stable right now. He's on oxygen 24/7. And I've been staying with him since he's been out of the hospital. But keep him in your prayers, please. I appreciate that. You know, I don't know. I hope that something I said touched at least one of you, because then it was all worth it. And I pray that Kyle gets us home safe and allows a little wider margin between the car and the guardrail. A foot would be preferable to 3 inches, okay? Especially when it's like right there. But you know, if you've been around for a while, you know, keep coming back. You owe it to yourself. You owe it to the newcomer. You owe it to this program. Because, you know, that's like a pet peeve of mine. People have been around, and then they get their lives back, and then they stop coming around. You know, I once heard, and I'm a firm believer, that a grateful addict will never use. Because, you know, there's another good reading, one of my favorite readings in that Just for Today book. It's February 21st on self-pity or recovery. You can't be in both worlds at the same time. Okay? So don't be in denial and think you can be. I mean, if you can be, let me know how it works for you, because I can't do that. But if you've been around for a while, keep coming back, man. And if you're brand new, keep coming back. It doesn't get any easier. Sure as hell gets a lot better, though. You know, because this program has given me an ability to deal with life on life's terms, and an ability to be more adaptable to change. You see, change is the most stressful thing in the world. Whether it's good change or bad change doesn't matter. It's stressful. And, you know, I can roll with the punches today. And, you know, before it used to be my way or no way. You know, and I didn't like change. And I think that's about all I have. I'm drawing a blank now, so that's God telling me to cut it. Thank you. Love you all.